So if you have your Bibles, please look at John chapter 1, and we'll be reading from verse 43 to 51. And I've entitled this morning's message, Bring Your Mates. And I want to talk about the issue of evangelism and how we can all share in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So John chapter 1, verse 43 to 51. Let us hear God's word. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen. This is God's word. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, as we come now to study your word, we do ask that you would speak to us, that your Holy Spirit would be here with us, that he would apply the word as it is preached, that he would equip us and enable us for every good work that you call us to. Lord, help us this day to hear your word and apply your word, and may we grow in the knowledge of Christ. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, as I've already mentioned this morning, I want to speak to you about a subject that is very near and dear to my heart. It is a topic that I am supremely passionate about, and that is the subject of evangelism. Now, I know when I say I'm going to speak on evangelism, if you've been around church circles for any length of time, what often happens is when a preacher says evangelism, congregations can sit back in their seats, their eyes roll back, and they glaze over going, oh no, not again. And the reason that happens, and I've been in sermons like that where my eyes have glazed over and I thought, oh no, not again, is because often what happens in evangelism sermons is that the preacher stands up in the pulpit, and then for the next 30 to 40 minutes, what you're going to get is a one long guilt trip. And that often happens. Sermons are always, right, you need to do more, you need to do better. There's a whole world out there perishing. What are you doing about it? And while those statements are true, sermons on evangelism often become more guilting believers into sharing. And that shouldn't be the sort of evangelism that we're inspired to. You see, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should have a desire and a willingness to tell people about him. But even though we may have that desire, even though we may know it's the right thing to do and we truly want to see people saved, something else we realize is this. Evangelism is hard. Evangelism is scary. It is not easy to share the gospel with someone. And when something is hard, when something is challenging, when something is scary, the last thing you need is for a preacher to try and guilt you into doing the job. That's the last thing you need. The last thing I need is to try and guilt scared people into sharing the gospel. And I include myself in that scared people category. So this morning what I want to do is try something different. I want to talk to you about evangelism, but with no added guilt. I don't know if you've ever been to the shops and you see the new product that comes out with bright coloured label on it saying, new product, no added sugar. And the implication is if you eat this, things will be better. Well, I want to try and do that with evangelism. I want to say no added guilt. I want to try and encourage you and inspire you and give you a way to share the gospel that all of us can get involved with. Now, since there's no added guilt, Let me begin by telling you what I will not be doing. I won't be standing up here quoting the Great Commission and then pointing across the congregation saying, "Are you going?" I won't do that. I'm not even going to quote Charles Spurgeon, who's one of my favourite preachers to read, when he said, "Have you no wish for others to be saved, and you are not saved yourself? Be sure of that." I'm not going to quote him. I'm also not going to quote the Bill Bright statistic that says less than 2% of Christians actively share their faith with another. Again, not quoting any of those things. Instead, what I want to do is be brutally honest and vulnerable with you. I'm going to level with you. I'm going to be perfectly honest, and this may shock some people. But I am naturally introverted. I find this a challenge, even standing and preaching to you. I find it hard doing this in a safe environment, which means when I go out and talk to people about the gospel, I am terrified. Evangelism is hard. It is scary. So I understand what you are feeling when a preacher comes along, cracks a whip and says, "Get out there and do something." I understand that fear. Now, I say all this as someone who has been involved in evangelistic work for 18 years. Every time I go and share the gospel, I am terrified. Sometimes in the open air, my legs are literally shaking. I get scared. And I often don't want to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet even though I am scared, and even though sometimes I am unwilling, I know that evangelism is vital. So what I hope to do this morning is to encourage you, and hopefully encourage me, and to give you a simple method of witness that will hopefully enable all of us to be more effective in reaching the lost around about us. Again, I don't want this to be a sermon of "you must evangelize." Rather, I want it to be a message of training, of equipping, and of encouragement. So the question is this: how do we evangelize? How can we evangelize in a way that is encouraging and effective, a way in which all of us can actively share the gospel? Well, it should go without saying that the best way to learn evangelism is actually by looking at the Bible itself. And that could almost be a shocking statement, because if you go to a Christian bookshop, you will find many books written on different methods and tactics of evangelism. The big method and tactic that people are teaching today is that we have to adopt the culture, redeem the culture, and somehow use cultural illustrations to share the gospel. Well, we don't see that in Scripture. And that's the current fad, but I guarantee in a few years there'll be a new fad that comes along, and all those books and DVDs on evangelism that taught the current method will be done away with, and you'll find them in second-hand bookshops for only about 5p. But what we need to do is look at the timeless message of God's Word. We need to look at the Scripture and see what we have here before us as an example of how to share the gospel. As we approach the Gospel of John, something we must keep in mind is that John writes his Gospel with a specific purpose. John writes the Gospel with the goal of introducing people to Jesus. At the end of John's Gospel in chapter 20, verse 31, John says, "My purpose in writing is so that people might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." His whole purpose in writing the Gospel is to introduce the lost to the Saviour. So as we go through John's Gospel, as we read John's Gospel, we should see examples of people being introduced to Christ. And that's what we see in our passage this morning. We see a man being introduced to Jesus. But more than just a man being converted and coming to Christ, we actually see an example of how we can evangelize. We see a blueprint on how you and I can bring people to the Saviour. But before we unpack our passage, it is worthwhile to set the background and the context. You see, we're jumping in at the end of a narrative. The narrative began many verses earlier with John the Baptist. We are told in the Gospel of John that John the Baptist was a man who was sent by God, and he had a very specific mission. His mission was to go out and proclaim the coming of the Christ, to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. We are told in the Word of God that John the Baptist was a passionate preacher. He was in the wilderness calling on people to repent of their sins and to be baptized. John preached with passion. He preached with boldness. He is a direct and confrontational preacher. Now, before you get worried, I'm not saying let's follow John the Baptist this morning. I'm not saying let's go out, eat some weird food, and yell at people to repent. That's not what I'm saying. But that's what John the Baptist was like. He was particularly gifted and called by God to a specific purpose. He proclaimed the coming of the Savior. And the Bible tells us that as John preached, the crowds were intrigued. God was doing a work in Israel in those days, and the people came out of the city, and they went into the wilderness, and they found John. Now, along with the crowds that came out of the city, we are told that religious leaders went out to hear John the Baptist preach. But as they listened to him, they had a question. And their question was, who is John? They wanted to know who he was because he wasn't big-noting himself. So they asked John, who are you? And every time they asked John who he was, he would point away from himself and he would point to the Lord. He'd say, I'm all about Jesus. I'm not about myself. Well, John's gospel tells us that one day, while John was preaching in the wilderness, Jesus actually came along to be baptized. And John recognizes Jesus. He immediately understands who Christ is. So he declares to the crowd that had gathered, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, John the Baptist pointed away from himself. He sees Jesus as the Savior, as the one who will be a sacrifice for sinners. And he tells everyone to look at Jesus, and he tells everyone to stop following him and start following the Savior. And that's exactly what the crowds begin to do. People now start to follow Jesus. Now, at first, Christ calls only a few men to be his disciples. These men left everything, and they followed Jesus. But then we come to our passage, and we see the disciples are starting to do something different. They are doing something that we need to examine. What we see is that the disciples of Jesus, those who follow Jesus, are going out and they are evangelizing. They start to call on others to come and follow the Christ. And as we look at our passage this morning, I want us to focus particularly upon Philip inviting his mate Nathanael to come and to find Christ. Look at verse 45 and 46. Notice Philip and Nathanael. Verse 45 to 46. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. So here is Philip, a man who had heard the preaching of John the Baptist. He had seen John. He was a disciple of John. He had heard of the fire and the intensity of John the Baptist's ministry. He knew that's how some preachers preach. But notice Philip's tactics. Philip doesn't try to be John the Baptist when he goes and he talks to Nathanael. He doesn't show up to Nathanael, point at him and say, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He doesn't do that. He's seen John do that, but Philip isn't John. He preaches and shares in a way that is unique to Philip. Now, something we need to keep in mind when it comes to evangelism is this. Be yourself. God has gifted you and made you a certain way. Be yourself. You are not someone else. You are your own unique person made in the image of God with particular giftings and skills for the glory of God that no one else has. So be yourself. I remember years ago meeting a young evangelist in Australia who was telling me that he felt really called to preach. And he asked me to listen to one of his gospel sermons. Well, I put it in, I pressed play, and I listened to it. And this young man, who was from Australia, so he sounds proper and right with a good English accent, he says, g'day, and mate, and how you going, and all that sort of stuff. But as soon as you listen to the tape, I thought I was listening to Billy Graham. he took on a southern US accent. And he started to preach as if he was Billy Graham. I've met another evangelist in Australia who sounds like he's from Ulster. When he starts preaching, he's imitating Ian Paisley. Now, God may indeed bless their efforts, but they're not being themselves. They are trying to imitate another. Well, Philip doesn't do that when it comes to reaching Nathanael. He witnesses to Nathanael in a simple way, in a way that's unique to him. He's not John the Baptist. And what we see is that this method of witness that Philip uses turns out to be very effective. You see, Philip, like every true Christian, has a desire to see the message of Jesus spread. Philip has gone from one who is dead in sin, who is far from God, to encountering the Messiah. He has found the hope of all peoples. His sins have been forgiven. He is loved and rescued by Jesus, and now out of gratitude for Christ, Philip wants others to hear of Jesus also. He wants others to experience the good news. Now this desire that Philip has causes him not to be passive. When it comes to evangelism, you cannot be passive. You cannot sit back and say, Lord, I will wait until someone comes to me before I share the gospel. We don't see an example of that in the New Testament. Evangelism is not a passive job. And Philip isn't passive. He goes out and he goes looking for someone to share with. And the Bible tells us in our passage that as Philip goes out, he found Nathanael. Now, Philip is deliberate in his evangelism. He's looking for an opportunity to speak of Jesus. And as he goes looking, he finds Nathanael. Now, commentators tend to agree that by the interaction we have between Philip and Nathanael, it indicates that a friendship existed already. This tells us that Philip wants his friends to come to know Christ. We should want those we love dearly to be with the Lord Jesus. And Philip goes to Nathanael, and he goes and evangelizes him. But notice how he shares. Philip goes to Nathanael and he says, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. What an opening. Nathanael sitting there under the fig tree, minding his own business, when all of a sudden Philip comes along and says, Nathanael, I have found the one that the Old Testament has been prophesying about. I have found the long-awaited Messiah. I mean, Philip is excited. He's encountered Christ and he wants everyone else to know Christ as well. He wants people to experience what he has experienced. So Philip goes to Nathanael. But I want you to note something about Philip's message. Philip goes and he proclaims to Nathanael, but as he does so, he actually gets something wrong. Philip makes a statement that actually isn't correct. You see, in evangelism, one of the biggest objections people have is this. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I mumble out the wrong words? Well, I've done that before. I have misdefined the Trinity in an open-air meeting before. I said the Trinity is three gods, one person. That's a heresy. I got it wrong. I quickly corrected it. No one picked up on it, which was good. But you will say the wrong thing sometimes in evangelism. But we can't let that fear of saying the wrong thing stop us from sharing the gospel. Often our fear of getting something wrong stifles evangelism to the point where we say nothing. In fear of getting something wrong, we don't even end up saying something right. And Philip got something wrong. Philip hasn't got his theology perfect yet, and we know that's the case because he's only been following Christ for a few days. He goes to Nathanael, and what he says is that Jesus is the son of Joseph. We could also point out that Jesus wasn't of Nazareth as well. He's from Bethlehem, but that's another point. But Philip says to Nathanael, Jesus is the son of Joseph. Now, that isn't the case at all. Jesus was born of a virgin. He didn't have an earthly father. His birth was supernatural. It was a miracle. God caused Mary to be with child. God the Son entered the womb of Mary. There was no human male involved in the process. But Philip assumes that Jesus is the son of Joseph because he hasn't understood the special birth of Christ yet. He merely shares what he can. And even though he gets something wrong, what we see is that God uses his words, even with the incorrect information. God uses the efforts of Philip and he blesses the sharing of the gospel. And that should give us hope. When you're scared about saying the wrong thing, know that God can even use your mistakes for his glory. Now that doesn't mean we go out and just promote heresy. It should be an accidental mistake. If you're going out promoting heresy, don't go out. But if you make a mistake, if you say something wrong, if you trip over your word and you end up affirming something you don't believe, it's not the end of the world. God can still use those words, even though you may have made a mistake. So Philip got something wrong, but God still uses it. I've gotten many things wrong, yet the Lord has still blessed the effort. So don't fear saying the wrong thing. So Philip speaks. Nathanael, guess who I found? Nathanael, let me tell you about the long-awaited Messiah. Well, how does Nathanael respond? Well, we see he's skeptical. He looks at Philip and he simply replies, really? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Do you really believe that the Messiah, the Savior, would come from a place like that? Do you truly believe that the Savior of Israel, that the hope of all nations, would come from a backwater like Nazareth? That's what Nathanael's saying. He's doubtful. He doesn't believe Philip. In fact, we know by the way he answers and questions that Nathanael's getting ready to debate Philip. He's getting ready to start an apologetic discussion. Now, many times in our evangelism, we can feel that the person we are sharing with is going to respond like Nathanael. We're worried that when we go to share the gospel and we go and talk to someone about Jesus, that what they're going to do is put their spiritual boxing gloves on and prepare to go 10 rounds with us. They prepare to debate. And indeed, you may encounter people like that. You may encounter contentious people who like to argue. Perhaps they are like Nathanael. They want to go toe-to-toe with you. And we think that and we immediately go, well, I'm not equipped, I'm not ready, so I'm just going to be quiet. But Philip doesn't do that. And notice how Philip responds. Nathanael has his boxing gloves on. He's ready to go. Well, Philip doesn't even put his gloves on. He doesn't step into the ring. He simply avoids the debate by saying, come and see. Come and see. You see, Philip, instead of debating Nathanael, simply says, why don't you come and examine the claims of Jesus for yourself? If you really want to know the answer, come and see. What a simple method of evangelism. I was reading recently a testimony of a young man named Michael Wilder, who was a Mormon missionary, grew up in a devout Mormon family. His goal was to be like the SAS of Mormons, basically. He wanted to convert all the Christians to Mormonism. So what he did when he was in Florida is he deliberately went into a Baptist church to find the pastor thinking, I can convert the pastor to Mormonism. When he gets converted, the entire congregation are going to become Mormons and I'm going to be the star. So he went in the spirit of Nathanael to meet the pastor. He was putting his boxing gloves on. He was ready for a fight. He was ready to argue. And the pastor listened to all the questions that Micah put to him. And the pastor replied by saying, I would encourage you to simply read the New Testament as a child and examine its teachings for yourself. In essence, he's saying, come and see. Well, Michael Wilder did just that. He did go and look at the teachings of the New Testament. And now he's a gospel preacher reaching out to Mormons. He got converted. You see, that was the come and see approach to evangelism. The pastor could have pulled out his apologetic books and showed why Mormonism was false and wrong and why it's a cult, but he simply says, come and see. Let me show you Jesus, and you take your questions to him. And that's Philip's method of evangelism. He invites Nathanael to a place where he can encounter Jesus for himself. That's smart evangelism. Philip doesn't argue with Nathanael. He simply says, come and see. Now, there are times for apologetic discussions and debate. We are to give an answer for the faith. But oftentimes, a lot of those debates produce more heat than light. So we need to be wise in what we do. Because our goal is always to bring someone to encounter Jesus. So Philip says to Nathanael, come and see. Well, as we read in our text, Nathanael does just that. Perhaps he followed Philip ready for a fight. He goes and he meets Jesus. He encounters Christ and he too is transformed. He goes from being a doubter to being one who is a follower of the Saviour. And it's this method of Philip, this evangelistic tactic we have here in Scripture, that I want us to think about a bit more this morning. As I think what we see Philip doing is something each and every one of us can do. We might not all be able to argue. We might not all be able to stand on the street corner and preach the gospel. We may not be able to sit down and have long gospel conversations with people. We may not be gifted and called to do that, but we are still called to be witnesses for Christ. And perhaps our best witness is simply to say, why don't you come and encounter Jesus for yourself? Why don't you come and see? Why don't you take your questions to him? Now perhaps this may be a method that you can use. Maybe you're like some in the congregation who have done the way of the master training. You've seen all the mechanics of how to share the gospel. But it's a big step from watching in the comfort of a church to actually going out and talking. So it's a big step there. Perhaps others here may feel unsure about what to say, or perhaps you're worried you're going to say the wrong thing and struggle with your words. In that case, let me encourage you to be like Philip. You may not have all the answers. Maybe all you can do is invite someone to come and see. And there's nothing wrong with that. Invite people to come and encounter the Lord Jesus for themselves. But that asks the question, how? I mean, Philip had it easy. Nathanael, Jesus is just over there. Why don't you go talk to him? Well, Jesus is here with his church, but people can't literally come in, sit down and have a chat to Jesus about their questions and concerns. But what we can do with our come and see approach is this. We can invite someone to read the Bible, to read the Scripture. Why don't you check out the Gospel of John for yourself? Maybe you could introduce them to the Word one-to-one program and say, why don't we just read through the Word of God together? But still, that might be too confrontational and scary for you. Maybe the way you can be like Philip is to invite people to come to an evangelistic event or a church service where someone else will share the gospel. You could simply say to the person you're trying to reach, why don't you come along and check it out for yourself? Come and see. Which now creates another question. Will someone actually come if you invite them to a church event or a gospel service? Well, statistics actually show that people will indeed come if invited, but let me make this very clear. The statistics show they will come one time. One time. Your friend, your family, that stranger, the neighbour that you know who is without Christ, studies constantly show they will come once. So make sure you invite them to a gospel meeting, to a church or an event where the gospel is actually going to be proclaimed. It's a waste of time to invite them to a service where the gospel is not going to be preached. I know of one person who had a friend who had a heart condition who didn't know Christ. So she invited that person to come to church with them. And she told the pastor, I'm bringing an unsaved friend with me. Can you make sure the gospel's preached? Well, it turned out the pastor didn't know the gospel. He spoke more time talking about healing and other silly things. And that person left, not knowing the gospel. One time. One opportunity missed. So invite people to come and see. You have one opportunity. And then the beauty of this method is by using the come and see approach and bringing people into the church is this. Evangelism stops being a lone ranger event. Oftentimes in evangelism we picture it's just me and the person I'm trying to witness. But if you do the come and see approach, you bring them into the life of the church, and guess what? Every single one of us then gets involved in the work of evangelism. Perhaps you are the person who invites someone to church. There's the first person. They come along to the chapel and they meet someone at the front gate, and the person at the gate shakes their hands and welcomes them. That's the second person. They're feeling at home. Then another person might walk them up the path here and bring them to the front door. That's the third person. They meet one of the smiling door greeters who gives them a hymn book and a new visitor's pack, welcomes them in and shows them to their seat. Fourth person. Then they meet other people throughout the service as we sing and pray and hear the word. That's a ton of us now. Then the preacher gets up. There's another person involved in the long chain of evangelism. At the end of the service, they get talking to someone else. There's another person involved. The whole church working together for the gospel. And that removes the fear, because you might have been simply the person who said, why don't you come in? And you may never actually verbalize the gospel to that person. But you're bringing them to a place where they can come and see, where they can hear the good news of Jesus, and we can all work together to reach the lost for Christ. So that's Philip's method, but how can we do this? Let's bring it down a bit more to another practical level. How can we as a congregation do this? You know, James tells us not just to be hearers, but to be doers. So how can we do this? Well, in just under a month, we're going to have two special gospel services here at the chapel. We're going to have two evangelistic meetings particularly designed for the unsaved. And if at those events, I would encourage you to use the come and see approach. The two events we're going to have is our Christmas carol service on the 19th of December. Invite people along to that. And we also have our Christmas Day service. Bring them along to that service as well. And at both events, the gospel will be preached. If we fail to preach the gospel at Christmas, there's no church in us, we probably should shut down. But invite them along to those events. Come and see. And we can all work together to reach the lost. We can all be like Philip. But if these evangelistic meetings are going to be successful, what we need is a bunch of Philips in the church. We all need to be like Philip, to invite our mates along to come and see and to hear the gospel. To invite our friends, our family, our neighbours and even strangers to come under the sound of the word of God. But I want to get even more practical. I want to give you a very practical way to help reach the lost. I want to give you some pointers to help you invite someone to do the come and see approach. I want you, first of all, as you plan to invite someone to church, to do this. First, pray. Really should go without saying, you should be a praying people. But as you think about who can I invite to church, who am I going to invite along, who am I going to be Philip to, as you think about that person, pray. First step. All evangelism begins with prayer. Identify those you know who are about Christ and begin to pray for them. They may be your friends and your family, they may be your neighbour, the person you work with or study with. Pray for them. Start talking to the Lord about them before you talk to them about the Lord. Talk to Christ about them. Pray daily for the conversion of your friends and family. Second step, after you've prayed, is continue to build relationships with those you're trying to reach. In the lead up to the evangelistic event, begin to work on your relationship with the lost. Spend time with them. Invite them around for a meal or for dessert. Invite them around for a tea or coffee. Take them out to a cafe. Do something with them. Spend time with them. Offer to help them if they need assistance. If they are unwell, go and do something practical for them. Perhaps you could assist them in their housework or take them a meal. Actively look for ways to be their friend. So pray, and then two, build relationships. And third, invite them. Invite them. As I said, statistics show that many people will come along to a church service or special event if they're invited by a friend. You may not know how to share the gospel, perhaps you trip up over your words, but you could say, why don't you come along with me to the Christmas carols? Why don't you come along with me on Christmas Day? Come and see. Now, to make the invitation easier for the person you're trying to reach, you could even offer to give them a lift to the service, or perhaps you could have them around for a meal or a tea or a coffee before or after the event. Invite your friends. But if you invite your friends and you discover they don't come, you come anyway. Because the Lord obviously has another job for you to do at the service. So you invite and you come. Fourth, follow up. After the gospel service, keep on being friends with the person. Don't go, right, done my job, next person. That's not a genuine friendship. That's not loving your neighbour. Follow them up. Keep spending time with them. Keep praying for them. Little by little, be a witness for Jesus. Now, I know I can say all that, and you go, well, hang on, what was point three again? What was point two? So to help you, what we have done is we have made a little flyer here to help you with the come and see approach to evangelism. It's entitled Bring Your Mates, because I want you to bring your mates to hear the gospel. Now, inside this flyer, we have the points I just mentioned. So for those who are taking notes, well, you can memorize double now. But if you look at the flyer, we actually have a prayer list also included. And there's 10 spaces on that prayer list. Now let me stress, I'm not saying you have to have 10 people. You might have one person. You might have 100 people. The number's not important. What is important is the person on that list. So I'd encourage you to take a flyer, write the name of the person you're going to invite to the service down. Write their name and daily commit to praying for them. Perhaps you could take the flyer and put it on your fridge, and every time you open your fridge to get a sneaky snack, you can quickly pray for the person. Lord, I'm going to invite them to church. Please let them come. Lord, please save them. Perhaps you can put it in your Bible, and each day as you read the Word of God, as you pull out your bookmark, you can say, Lord, please save that person. Please bring them into your kingdom. Use this to help you reach the lost. And if you'd like one of those, please talk to me after the service. We have a number we can give you, because we want to equip you and enable you to be a witness, to share the gospel. And I should also say that even though I'm talking about Christmas and carols and all that sort of stuff, this approach isn't confined to December. Maybe you could use it next year as well. Think about your friends and your family and use come and see all year long. That's Philip's method of evangelism. So this morning we have a simple but biblical method of outreach. But all of us must be committed to doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd encourage you to start praying for the gospel services and praying for all those that you will invite. And together as a church, we can see many people come to know the Saviour. And that should be our desire. It's a simple method that all of us can use. But as we finish this morning, I want to change focus just slightly. As we saw, Philip is passionate about Nathanael coming to know Jesus. And all Christians should be passionate about the lost coming to know the Saviour. And perhaps this morning, you are one who is here in the chapel or listening online who is wondering why Christians are so passionate and why we think it's so important that people come to know the Saviour. Perhaps that's your question. Why do Christians care that much? Well, we care simply because we know the truth of the Bible. We know that all people were made by God to know and love Him. We know that God cares for His creation. that he has told us how we should live and act, but we also know that every single person, ourselves included, have turned our back on God, and that turning our back on God is called sin. Now, as Christians, the reason we are passionate about people coming to know Jesus is because we who at one time were dead in our sins have encountered the one who rescued us, who delivered us from our sin and forgave all the wrong that we did. And because we have been forgiven, we love. And we want other people to know Jesus. We want you to know, if you don't know Christ, that even though you have done wrong, even though you have sinned against God more times than you can count, even though you deserve the judgment and wrath of God for all eternity, even though you deserve hell if you were to drop dead at this very moment, Christ offers forgiveness. He offers rescue. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners. And he rose again from the dead. He defeated sin and death. And now because Jesus Christ has died in the place of wicked people, no matter what sin you've committed, even though Jesus has died for people of all different backgrounds and contexts, he speaks directly to you and he says, you must come and see. You must repent. You must believe that Jesus died and rose again. And Philip is passionate to introduce people to Jesus, and as Christians we're passionate because we want people to come and experience the forgiveness of sins and eternal life that is found in Christ alone. No matter who you are or what your background is, the Lord Jesus Christ calls you to himself. He says, repent and believe, for he died and rose again. Doesn't matter the hurt and the pain and the background that you have, Christ stands willing to forgive. And he says, I love you, and I'm prepared to forgive you. So my invite to you this day is to come and see. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and see for yourself. Come to Christ and experience the one who forgave Philip, the one who forgave Nathaniel, the one who forgave me. Come and see. And this morning, if you're here and you say, I want to find out more about the Lord Jesus Christ, then talk to me after the service. I'd love to give you a copy of the Gospel of John, the biography of Jesus. Because in this Gospel, you can come and see Christ for yourself. You can be introduced to Jesus and know the one that loved the world and gave himself for sinners when he died and rose again. So come and see. Christians, invite the lost to come and see Jesus at gospel meetings. Non-Christian, come and see the Saviour, the one who lived, who died, and who rose again. Let's pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we do thank you that we can spend time studying your word this morning. Lord, would you help us to be a people who love Jesus, who long to reach out to the lost. And Lord, would you grant us boldness and courage to witness for him. Lord, you know the fears and the weakness and the difficulties that we face. Lord, would you please strengthen us by your Spirit. Would you enable us to be faithful witnesses for Christ. And Lord, may you be pleased to use our meager efforts to reach this community for Jesus. Oh Lord, help us in the days ahead to pray for the lost, to build relationships with the lost, to invite the lost to a service and then to follow them up. Lord, would you please do that? Help us to be witnesses. But for those here this morning who do not know you, Lord, we pray that you would be kind to them, that they would see the kindness of God shown in the death and the resurrection of Christ, and that kindness would lead them to repentance. May they indeed come and see Jesus. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.